Il-program li ser tisimaw u għam iġjub li l-kombi xewqa tajba ta' Farsons Foundation. University Matters on Campus FM. I'm Patricia Camilleri. In this series, I will be talking to academic staff about their research, their international networks, their aims, and plans for the future. I shall also be hearing from staff and students about the many events that take place here at the University of Malta. This is the program that keeps you informed about what's happening on campus. To have with me today in the studio, Dr. Alexei Dingley. Just a word about my guest. In 2001, he obtained BSc IT honours in artificial intelligence, and if my memory serves me well, first class. He then went on to do his PhD at Sheffield University in artificial intelligence. And this he followed up with an MBA from Grenoble in technology management. 2001, 2004, he was a researcher with the University of Sheffield, and during that time worked on various multi-million EU projects, particularly AKT, the Advanced Knowledge Technologies, which was worth an amazing 9 million sterling. Between 2004 and 2007, he was a senior manager in a government corporation and was responsible for three departments, statistics, research and ICT. 2007, he became a lecturer here at the University of Malta in the Department of Intelligent Computer Systems, which formerly was known as the Department of Artificial Intelligence. That's in the Faculty of ICT here. He's been working on various projects, which I hope we'll have some time to talk about, because each one of them is really fascinating. There was the Ambient Assisted Living, the Pinata project, and of course, Digital Games Malta, which is what we spoke about the last time we met in the studio. And another project called The Hub, and I hope that we'll talk about that. You also published a book last year, Knowledge Annotation, Making Implicit Knowledge Explicit. Listeners will also be aware that Dr. Dingley is the mayor of Valletta, and this gentleman obviously has much better time management skills than I do. Welcome to you, Dr. Dingley.
Hi, Patricia.
Well, there's so many things we can talk about. I think perhaps we can pick up on the last interview we did, which was about the gamesing, and ask you whether things have moved on, how they've moved on, both outside university and within university.
Yes. Well, it's been quite an interesting period at the moment. In fact, just yesterday, we've currently concluded, or at least the submissions of Gamesync 2, which was quite popular last year, and we decided to repeat it as well this year. And at the moment, we're going through the phase of the judging, and later on in January, we'll have the awards night for the Gamesync. We had quite a good participation. We have around 16 games, if I'm not mistaken, and they're all from educational institutions. So I'm quite pleased. Even the level of the games is strengthening from year to year. So that's with regards to the Gamesync. We're also working at the university. We've increased our capacity even with regards to game design, development. In fact, from this semester, we started as well a bunch of courses. Actually, at the moment, I'm teaching two. but we have some other courses planned for the next semester as well. They're mainly in game design, game development, and the nice thing about these courses is that they amalgamate students both from the IT side and also from the design side, because you know sometimes the IT sides they're very good at programming, but they like the design, and the design side is it's exactly the opposite. So by getting these two worlds together and trying to make them work together, I think we'll be having some interesting results later on throughout the year. That's the first step, because we're speaking about undergraduates. The next step, which will hopefully start in the next academic year, so it's October 2012, is the launching of the master's degree. It will be a joint master's between the University of Malta and the IT University of Copenhagen, where we've devised this new master's course. It will be divided between the technical aspect and also the design aspect. But as I said before, we're trying to combine the two together. Apart from that, once we manage to combine these two together, we'll also take it to the commercialization aspect, because that's also a very important aspect. I mean, it's good to have a game, you have a good game, but you have to promote it, you have to market it, you have to spread the word about this game, and hopefully we'll have the first intakes in the coming year. So that's with regard to university and teaching. On the local front, I think there have been some very interesting things going on. First and foremost, in the recent budget, there was this impetus towards gaming, which I think shows the direction which our country needs to take. In fact, there are some new schemes which have been advertised in that budget, particularly for private companies, even local companies, not just to attract foreign companies, but also personal schemes which have been also expanded to academics in order to attract more academics even to our university and to other institutions around Malta. So on that front, I think it's something very positive.
Removing some.
Yes. And also in the last year, we've seen actually a few months ago the creation of a new company. It's a company aimed at designing a new game. The game is technically what we call an MMO. It's a massive multiplayer online game. What it means is that you go
you
into
have
this.
To explain yes, that yes. A little bit, please.
What it means is that you go into this online world, and you're sharing your experiences with other users from different locations, but they're all meeting on this virtual world. The idea of this new game, which they're piloting at the moment, is to create this game for children. It's very similar to games such as Club Penguin by Disney, which essentially create this sort of virtual environment which is safe for children. So that parents are aware that they're sort of socializing within a limited scope, obviously, with their peers, their friends, within a safe environment. But and the nice thing about this company is that it's growing pretty much fast. It will reach 100 employees in the coming months. And apart from that, the people behind it are people who used to work at Disney and also at Sony. So they have they're bringing this baggage with them as well. So I think it's some positive things. Throughout the past year, I've also met a number of individuals who've been working on other games, even abroad. Most of them are foreigners, and they decided to settle in Malta for a variety of reasons. One of them, for example, has just created yet another MMO, massive multiplayer online game, which is called Battlestar Galactica. Battlestar Galactica is a game, a space game, which is based on this sci-fi series, Battlestar Galactica. And they decided last year to launch this huge game. A few days ago, I went to their site, and they're registering at the moment 7 million people. Which is something incredible.
And they're based here. The
company, part of the company was based here. The project management of the game was all done in Malta, but some of the other elements were outsourced. For example, I don't know, the music was outsourced to other countries. It was really an idea of the global village, because you had developers in Brazil, others in Russia. So it was all over pretty much, but the management of the creation of this game was all done in Malta.
What do you think really encourages companies like the one that you've just mentioned that's doing this big game for children? why should they really want to come to Malta? Because there are so many other places in the world mm-hmm. which are involved in this kind of activity. Mm-hmm. What value added, if any, does Malta give?
Well, I think it's mainly three things. First of all, there are good taxing systems, sort of the tax rebates, the schemes which exist in Malta are quite good compared to other countries, even though there are other countries such as, for example, Canada, where the schemes are much, much better than Malta. But then we have other pluses here in Malta. The second thing is the resources, are the human resources. You know, everybody speaks English in Malta. We have very competent people here on the island. So I think that's the second thing. And the third is our standard of living. I mean, I've spoken with all these foreigners and they told me sort of, what's my choice? Go to a cold country or live in the sun? And most of them prefer the sun. And when I say standard of living, it's not just for the person, but even the schooling, the wife of the person or the husband. So it's I think the whole package. I think the package we offer is quite unique. So it's not just about the money, but we also have good resources, but also a good standard of life, where people like to live here in Malta.
Mm. Yes, this is very often true that the money, people obviously looking at the bottom line, but people are very aware nowadays of the quality of
yes.
their existence as well.
Yeah. And also, I mean, the gaming market is a global market, so the money is good to attract people, but then, you know, once you manage to attract someone, he'll consider how he'll live in that place. Because what if, last time I was speaking with a friend of mine, he's currently living in New Mexico, and he was telling me that sort of his job was incredibly good over there, but it was an incredibly boring town he was living in. So, you know, there's this aspect sort of how long can you stay in that place.
And tell me a little bit more about the master's course, because this is mm-hmm. this is going to be with very interdisciplinary in the sense that it's going to be involved. I think you said the faculty, our new faculty, what mm-hmm. used to be CCT,
yes.
and is now Media and Knowledge Sciences. That's
yeah.
going to be involved as well.
Yeah.
How does that actually happen? Because you do have people who are, as you say, you do need students that are good on the design side, you need students that are good on the IT side. How do you marry those students? How do you choose your students for that particular master's course? Who are these students?
Well, I think it's more the students choose us rather than we choose them. But as you correctly said, the master's is being coordinated by the new faculty, the Faculty of Media and Knowledge Sciences. And I think there's a fundamental reason why it's being managed by that faculty, because we would like to pose this master as being something sort of which creates or which opens doors for anyone, because it's not just our students, the IT students that need to go to that master or just the design students, but for example you can have language students who would like to create, I don't know, scripts maybe or translations. So practically I think almost any aspect of your studies can be incorporated in a game. In fact, at the moment, one of the main areas of study in the gaming world is the idea of gamification. What is gamification? Yes, the idea of gamification is the following: that practically, think about when you're playing a game. Most of the time you're enjoying it, you don't even realize the amount of time which you're taking to play the game. So why not take that model? All right, so it's the enjoyment, the seriousness in the gameplay, and translate it to our normal daily life. Okay, what if I don't know, I'm cooking, and I decide to do this recipe like as if I'm playing a game. You know, that there are games, actually. There's a game called Cooking Mama, which is you're virtually cooking. But it's fun. So what if we can translate that fun to the cooking, but in real time this time? And the idea is not really new, because if we take a look at children, all right, children tend to gamify everything. So if my son is walking down the stairs and he decides to jump,
skip and jump.
Yes, I mean everything is a game for him. And if you think about it, gaming is very important for children because it's part of their learning. So I think what we're doing is we're rediscovering the value of gaming, and hopefully we're trying to sort of take it or at least use that model in our daily lives.
It's an interesting concept. And I suppose at master's level, then when you actually get to the dissertation part of the mm-hmm. master's, then you would choose an area which is your own specialization. Yeah. I mean, if you're an IT person, you'd do it particularly in IT. Yeah. And if you're a design person, you would do it in more in that.
But there's nothing stopping you to collaborate with others. And I think that's the nice thing about this master's.
Mm. And the very fact that you are increasing the number of credits on the course, for example, this is something that's happened since we last spoke, I think, because these companies that are coming here, they're going to really want the personnel at the end of the day. Yeah. They're going to look around and say, how many students are coming out of university with the skills I need?
Yeah, yeah.
And I suppose this is helping along.
That's why we're doing it, because we're trying to address that issue. In fact, since last time, we've created this group, which is called Gaming at ICT, which is basically aimed at focusing on sort of creating this stream within our course, a stream aimed at gaming. So you can still take your other subjects, but if you would like to do some gaming stuff, you take this stream. Apart from that, we have another group, which is called Gaming and Education, which is once again a group between our faculty, the education department, the media and knowledge science as well. So it's trying to get more people together and explore this gaming aspect.
Another thing that we are going to be working on is the researchers' night. How is that panning out?
Okay, I can't divulge a lot of details, sorry, because it's still in a fuzzy state. But at the moment, we're applying for the researchers' night. It will be championed by the University of Malta, and it will be held in Valletta. So I'm using my two hats over here. But one of the ideas which we have and which we'll probably implement in the coming year is to sort of try to involve children to this gaming aspect. I mean, we all know that children play. So our idea was, why not help them to create a game for children, sort of a game by children for children. And what we have in mind is to go to the various schools and invite them to submit a proposal for a game. Okay, we're not talking about programming or anything or design. We're just saying ideas. We want the children to give us their ideas. Then our idea is to use one of the schemes which was announced in the last budget, which is essentially a tax rebate scheme which the government is going to give to IT companies in order to promote the development of educational games. So we'll take these ideas, we'll go to IT companies and we'll tell them, listen, we have these ideas, would you like to create this game? And in exchange, you'll get a 15,000 euro tax rebate, which is not bad, I think, for a game. And then obviously it will be a sort of a small competition, which we'll present on the, at the researchers' night.
And at the same time, you're introducing children to this aspect of computer enjoyment, and hopefully they'll...
Even though most probably children are more expert in this area than we are, so...
Yes, it is a terrifying thing,
us.
Isn't it? Yes, it's amazing. Yeah. But it's a good idea, the idea of children doing something for children. I like that idea. That's really good. Also, joined up thinking in the sense of, okay, the government gives this rebate, but then there has to be this joined up thinking to actually get the thing to work.
Yes. In fact, we have quite a number of ideas related to this subject. Another idea which we have, which once again I cannot promise it will happen, but we're trying to do it, is what if we take the float makers, okay, and we take the design students, and we take the scientists. We lock them in a room, and we get this scientific float. We still don't know what will happen in that room, but this is one of our ideas which we're working on as well for the researchers' night. Sort of because, you know, I mean, we're scientists, we love science, and we would like to celebrate science in that night, but also to promote it, because unfortunately some people have this distorted view of science. But sort of we work in this fun science, let's say. So we would like to share that fun with others.
So you can take off your white coats.
Yes,
and,
yes.
and don your carnival costume. Sounds like a really good idea. In May, you're going to be organising a 5-day workshop, which, again, sounds really, really interesting.
Yes, this is something we're trying to organize. It will also be in collaboration with the IT University of Copenhagen. The idea is to create this international workshop, which will get together the design aspect of gaming together with the technological aspect, and we'll have this. Probably it will be a two-day workshop. The whole session will be a week, because our idea is to have the first 2 days, which will be the actual lessons and the hands-on experience. And then the 3 days will be more a practical aspect. And in those 3 days, we're planning to create what is known as a game jam. So essentially, a game jam, we're planning to have two tracks as well, because one of them will be a track which will be aimed at PhD students. Sort of the idea is what you learn in the lessons, you'll apply it in this track. And the other one would be an open-ended game track, and where we'll invite anyone practically for this game jam. Now, a game jam is essentially, you go to this place, we still have to identify where. You're provided with, obviously, power, because our laptops
need quite a bit of power.
Power and Wi-Fi. Okay, and you spend about 72 hours straight in that place programming and designing and creating this game. And at the end of those 72 hours, if you're still alive, you can present your game and you take part in this competition.
But you seem to be very keen on shutting people up in rooms for long periods of time.
I think the problem is that sometimes we don't have enough time to speak with each other or to share ideas. So I'm actually keen because, you know, when you share ideas, concepts with others, especially people who are not in your own field, then you get these sparks and these new ideas. So yes, I am.
Well, it's a good idea to be in a room where you don't have the telephone ringing.
Yes, yes.
And you don't have to go off to a meeting. Only a few minutes left, unfortunately. But I would like to talk to you a little bit about the other things that you've done and what and that you're going to do. Just a quick word about this Pinata, because it really does look like a fascinating...
Pinata is an MCST project. It's called Pervasive Nursing and Doctoral Assistant. And yes, the idea is to create this non-intrusive sort of monitor over patients. In fact, we're doing it together with St. James Hospital. And through this system, we can monitor, for example, the patients, the medications which they take, the equipment in the hospital, these sort of things. The nice thing about it is that most of the system is automated, it's fully automated. So imagine you're at night, you're in a hospital, and you decide to go to the bathroom, and all of a sudden you faint and you fall in the middle of the floor. So the system can identify your body position, and based upon your body position, because obviously the system knows that if you're on the floor in the middle of the night, you're not supposed to be there, and he raise an alert. The alert will be raised to the nurse, which is closer to your room, because every nurse would, as part of the project, they also have handheld devices. So the system knows which is the nurse closest to your room, and it will alert directly to that nurse. The project is being concluded. It will finish probably this month. And we'll launch it, we'll have the press conference in January. At the moment, we're also seeking funds to continue this project. In fact, we've submitted a new application. It's an FP7 application, together with IBM Israel, the University of Oxford as well. We have some experts from in AI from Germany, and some project managers as well from Norway. So we created this consortium, and hopefully we'll get the money. We're asking for 3 million euros to continue this money, because at the moment in the EU there's this huge push to work on fall detection technologies, because, you know, the EU has this problem of the aging population, and due to the old age, people will start having mobility problems. What happens if they live on their own and then they fall in the middle of the night or during the day? So that's the sort of things we're working on. Another addenda to this project, which will be launching hopefully next week, another application, we decided to create this avatar, this virtual being, which will live on your mobile device, being a phone, an iPad or whatever, and it's aimed at children. So the idea is to help children throughout the day whilst promoting healthy living. Because we know the problem of obesity here in Malta, and we're trying to address that problem. But through this innovative thing, sort of they'll have this buddy which follows them throughout the day, and he'll sort of recommend a healthy lifestyle for these children.
Mm-hmm. Don't reach out for the hamburger.
No, but we'll try to do it in a sort of game as well. Once again, the aspect of gamification, sort of if you opt for something healthy, then you'll get more points than if you take a hamburger. But.
Mm-hmm. Get some sort of a reward.
Yes. Yeah.
It's a very basic ploy, that I think. Yeah. What about the hub?
The hub is a new project which our department started a few months ago. Now, the hub is actually a physical place, a physical space, which is located in various countries around the world. In Malta, we don't have a physical hub. However, we're trying to create this virtual hub. As the name implies, a hub is a place which collates, which brings people together, and the idea is of creating this space where people with different objectives, with different backgrounds, meet in this place. Once again, I'm locking people in a room to share their ideas and try to reach solution. The nice thing about the hub is as well that it has this green soul behind it, because it's not just listen, let's do business or something, but there's as well the social aspect, the environment, which is at the basis of the values behind the hub.
Yes, because sometimes the IT world does get accused of being sort of isolationist,
yes,
and you know, whereas something like this, you're obviously trying to bring in the values side,
yeah,
of, side of things,
yeah,
as well. Well, thank you very, very much, Dr. Dingley, Alexei Dingley, for being with us today on University Matters. You've certainly got your work cut out for you. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you for being with us on University Matters. You can listen to any of the previous interviews in this series on the Campus FM website. I hope you'll join us again next week. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye. Program li għadkom kem smajtu kien miġjub li l-kom biex xewqat tajba ta' Farsons Foundation.